Okay, Shavua Tov, everybody. Welcome to our special pre-Chanukah share for the Anashe BMW, based in Medrash Vodmir. Thank you for inviting me to speak. Thank you for opening your home to our Torah. Where's Atara Biv, the organization?
She's coming. She's on her way.
Okay, thank you to Atara for working on the arrangements. Tonight is the Yortzei Chavt Al Kisev. It was the first Yortzei of Aaron Leibstein and Zeicha Tzadik, the Kaddosh of Rechaz, Chuso Yalgin Aleinu. I can't even say the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Tajana Adam Gadol, who reached the level of Malachim, but he should storm the Kisei HaKavod from his place in the Yeshiva Shamala, Rebbesor's Torahs, Refuos, Yeshuas, everything that Klal Yisrael needs. So I wanted to try and find a different aspect of Chanukah to discuss, something maybe unique, something we haven't considered before, try and find something different in the miracle of oil, and you'll hear. Okay, Rabbi Mordechai Gifter Zatzal would relate the following story about Rav Matto Pogromansky. He was a brilliant and young Talmud Chacham that Rav Gifter met when he learned in Taos. It happened one time that Rav Matto and his friend were traveling. They planned to reach their destination before Shabbos. They became so engrossed on the train in a Torah discussion, they missed their stop. And by the time they got off, it was close to Shabbos and they had no idea where they were. Rav Matto's friend was horrified. What should they do? Shabbos is approaching. They were nowhere near a Jewish community. And Rav Matto said to his friend, a Jew is never lost. If we're here, we are not lost. We are meant to be here. Rav Matto further noted, a person who follows the word of Hashem is never lost. He realizes wherever he is exactly where Hashem wants him to be. And Rav Matto's friend said, that's very nice, Rav Matto. But Rav Matto means zenin for blunder. Rav Matto, we're lost. Rav Matto inquired, and he discovered that there was indeed one Jew in town. They went to his house. The man opened the door, and he was stunned to discover these two from Yidden on his doorstep. Erev Shabbos said to them, are you Eliyahu Navi? They said, no. They said, we're a Jew. This is Matto Pogromansky and his friend, and the host invited them inside. And he said, last week on Shabbos, his wife gave birth to a baby boy, Amiel, who was supposed to come perform the bris mila and never showed up. And he said to them, do you happen to perhaps be Amiel? Rav Matto smiled, and he said, the friend was Amiel. And he always traveled with his tools. The story is told over in the Rav Gifter biography, beautiful biography, and his friend always traveled with his tools on him. It just so happened that the baby boy had his bris mila on the 8th day because Rav Matto and his friend were lost. And Rav Matto looked at his friend and he said to him, you see, my friend, a Jew is never lost. And I wanted to try and give us all some chizuk, give myself chizuk. I always say, V'inu HaMashem Elkeinu Aleinu Ma'asei Deinu Aleinu Ma'asei Deinu Koneu. From Kapitel Tzadi, it's also the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael after they put up the Mishkan. And Rav Palm explains, Ma'aseh Yedinu Konen Aleinu, that when a person works in Ruchnius, the primary benefit should be to themselves. We should all have the ideal and the realization that the work we do benefits others, but primarily ourselves. And I thought to give us all some Divrei Chizuk, Mamish, the night before Chanukah. It's a Yom Tov that we all love very much. I said, where's the organizer? It's fine. Baruch Hashem, you're here. Okay, you look beautiful. What did you say?
Up on a Saturday night.
Say it again.
We get dressed up on a Saturday night.
You have to go out. So I wanted to give us all some chizuk. It's the night before Chanukah, and there are many aspects that we could discuss about Chanukah. I discussed some of my parsha class last week, discussed some of it in some shiurim that are on YU Torah, but I wanted to discuss the idea of really hashgacha pratis in our lives and recognizing that everywhere we're supposed to be and everything that happens to us, and sometimes it's hard for us to find Yad Hashem in our lives, and it's hard for us to sometimes see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is really directing everything that really happens to us, and to be mechazek all of us. My friend shared a beautiful vard a number of years ago with me, and I thought it was very impactful. And it says, after the Akeid, after Akeidas Yitzchak, Avram lifted his eyes, Vayar v'hine ayil acher ne'echaz b'svach v'karnav. There was an ayil, there was a ram stuck in its horns. The pasuk says, Avram looked up, and he saw a ram in the branches. Looking at the ram straight on, the ram looked stuck. Poor ram. Looking at the ram from above, he looked placed. That was exactly where the ram was supposed to be. Lucky ram. We're either stuck or we're exactly where we're supposed to be. It all depends on perspective and from where we see things. And sometimes from our perspective, straight on, we seem stuck. Poor us. From Hashem's perspective, from above, we are exactly where we're supposed to be. Lucky us. Sometimes we encounter matzavim, situations in life. Sometimes they're ongoing situations, sometimes they're short-term situations, and we feel stuck. We feel stuck, whether it's an in with ourselves and our Avodas Hashem, we can't seem to make inroads, we're going to be better in a certain midah, in a certain mitzvah, in a certain tefillah, we'll have more kavana, the brachos will be better, our patience will be better, our cell phone usage will be less, and we take takanas and we take kabbalas, and we feel stuck. And sometimes it's external situations, life situations that come to us, that happen to us, we missed the train, we're here, things work out like this, we feel stuck. And really the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to know that wherever we are is exactly where we are supposed to be. And sometimes it's hard for us to internalize. But it's the emes, it's the reality of our lives. The pasuk says in Bamidbar, very famous pasuk, in the beginning of Bahaloscha, Daber al Aron v'amarta elav, speak to Aron and Satan, Bahaloscha esan eros, amul peneha menorah, irush yivasan eros. And when you light the candle, they should be towards the face of the menorah, the seven lights shall cast their lamp. It's a mitzvah of hadakas neros in the Mishkan slash Mikdash every day. So the pasuk of Baal Oscha, the consolation to Aaron of Baal Oscha, immediately follows the pasuk of Bamidbar, Naso, not the pasuk, the parasha of Naso. In Naso, all the Nasim brought their kabanos. Everyone knows what I'm talking about? In Naso, all the Nasim, the princes, brought their kabanos during the dedication of the sanctuary, the Mishkan, and Aaron was not included. Aaron comes from the tribe of Levi, and he does not have a Chanukah, a korban, to bring during the Chanukah of the Nasim. And Aaron apparently felt bad. He felt bad. Why? Why does everyone get to bring a korban, and I don't bring to bring a carbon? So immediately after Naso, when the princes bring their carbanos, so Aaron is told, I have something for you, says Hashem, I have a mitzvah for you, you're going to light the menorah. So Baal Oscha, so the Ramban quotes Rashi, welcome there, cheers, please come in. Thank you. So the Ramban first begins by quoting Rashi. Why does the parasha of menorah, the topic of menorah lighting to Aaron, immediately follow the topic of the Chanukah Sanasim, the Karbanos that the Nasim brought? So, famous words, Lefi Kisharaa Aaron Chanukah Sanasim Chal Shadato. When Aaron saw everybody's involved in this mitzvah, his mind literally means his mind was weak. He felt bad. Shalohayim Mahem B'Chanukah Lohu V'lo Shifto. We know how it feels to feel left out. It doesn't feel very good to feel left out. It's very difficult as a child. It's difficult as an adult. Nobody wants to feel like an outsider. Nobody wants to feel excluded. There's a big part. I wasn't invited. How do you feel? Pretty bad. Everybody brings Chanukah Sanasim. Everyone brings a special karban, and I'm left out. He felt bad. He wasn't included. Not him. Not a shavit. So God Baruch Shalom comes and he says, your reward is greater. You will light the menorah evening and morning. So this is, that's Lashon Rashi. Lashon Rashi's quoting Chazal. So what was Aaron's nechama? What was his consolation? That was Aaron's consolation. Lighting of the menorah. Okay, I have to make sure you're with me. So the Ramban says, Lashon Rajvimi Medrash Agadah, right? Bamidbar, this is what's going to happen in the desert. Naso, these are the karbanos of the Nasim. Balos Chesaneros, Aaron, this is your reward. Don't feel so bad. I have something better than mine for you. Chaliacha Shalcha Gdola Mishalahem. Your reward is much greater. So Ramban says, "Velonit barerli." It's not clear to me. Lama nichumu b'hadlakas aneros. Why was Aaron comforted with the lighting of the menorah? Velonichumu b'ktores boker ve'erv. What about ktores? He brought ktores, the incense spice, and the golden mizbeach in the kodesh every morning and every evening. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam specifically say you have consolation with Chanukas Hamishkan through the menorah? Okay, 1 second, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Or why not all the karbanos? If they brought karbanos and Aaron felt bad, so Aaron's going to bring karbanos all the time. So if you want to tell them you're left out, they just brought a karban one time during the dedication, you're going to bring karbanos all the time. Isn't that a better nechama? What about the avodah of Yom Kippur? What about he gets to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim and nobody else gets to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim? He is the Holy One who will stand before Hashem, l'sharsu, l'varech b'shmo, to serve God, to bless His name. And furthermore, his whole shevet, I'm a Shar Sim Hashem. He comes from Sheva Levi. The Levim have their job, the Kohanim have his job. So that's the Ramban saying, why specifically is this a consolation? You'll light menorah, so don't feel so bad. Furthermore, why does he feel bad? His carbon is greater than theirs. Okay, I'm skipping a little of the Ramban. Aval inyan ha'gadah hazu lidrosh remes min ha'parsha al-chanukah shal neiros shahayisa bebayisheni. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Aaron, I'm not talking about the consolation of lighting menorah boker erev in the Mishkan. And I'm not talking about lighting the golden menorah boker erev in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm talking about a different menorah that will be lit, which should be a nechama for you. That will be through the Kohanim, Mitzoni Lomer, Chashmonai, Kohen Gadol Uvanav. The Nechama to Aaron was not the fleeting Karbanos. He came and he went. Every person should live a Beis Hashem Shana. But his Doros, the Kohanim from Beis Chashmonai, would come one day, and the Chanukah that we will celebrate tomorrow night for Doros is the Nechama of Aaron Kohen. And therefore he says, Yesh Chanukah Achara Sheyesh Bahadaka Saneros Vani Osa Bal Yisrael Al Yedei Banecha Nisim Uteshua. There is a different Chanukah through the lighting of the menorah that we will all light tomorrow night. It's not an accident that Chanukah is in the darkest nights of winter and the shortest days when it gets dark so early. And we take that menorah for doros, for generations, and we put it, the Inyan of Pirsu Menisa, specifically at the window, let everybody see the transmission of the Mesorah, the light that conquers the most dark of darkness in all generations. V'ani osa bal Yisrael ayadei banecha nisim u'teshua. I will do through your sons, Aaron HaKohen, nisim, miracles, u'teshua, and salvation. V'chanukah shakur al shemam v'hi chanukas beis chashmonai. You know what the consolation to Aaron was? The consolation to Aaron was not that you're going to light the menorah in the Mishkan Boker Erev in the Midbar. The consolation is that in Doros, your children will bring the light of Chanukah, what we call Chanukah, to all generations of Kasas Israel. And therefore, he was consoled with Chanukah. So the Gemara tells us in regard to the... Does anyone have questions? Comments? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Chof Alf Amud Beis, when the Yavanim, when the Syrian Greeks, with their impurity and their tuma, they wanted to uproot Shabbos, they wanted to uproot Brismila, and they wanted to uproot Rosh Chodesh. And Rav Eliel Kito brings down so beautifully, and I mentioned, if you listen to Shemayah Torah, you heard me say it already, but it's kedai to say it again. They wanted to uproot Mila. The body does not have sanctity. That was the Greek Hashkafa. They wanted to uproot Shabbos. The world does not have a creator. They wanted to uproot Rosh Chodesh. Time does not have sanctity. This was their Mahalach. The Jewish body should be profane. We don't believe that, of course. The world does not have a creator. You don't need Shabbos. And finally, Rosh Chodesh attests to the sanctity of time. We call it Kiddush Levana. They wanted to uproot it. So Kito points out, that's why Chanukah is always 8 days. Because that symbolizes the triumph of Bris Milah, the continuity of Bris Milah. That's why Chanukah always includes a Shabbos. That's why Chanukah always includes Rosh Chodesh. It's beautiful. Teiros from Shabbos Mevarchim. Why? The three mitzvos, Kito points out, Sefer HaTodah, Book of Our Heritage, that they wanted to uproot, are all symbolized in Chanukah. So, Kishenichnusu Yivanim Lehechel Timakal Shmanim. They defiled, they made impure all the oils, Shabbahechel. Kishagavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai, when the house of the Chashmonaim, the Kohen Gadol, the house of the Chashmonaim, one, v'nitzchum, badkuvulo matzu al pach echad shal shemen. How much shemen do they find? You all know this. Everybody knows this from the time that they're little kids. There's a medrash that says that the pachim ktanim that Yaakov went back for over River Yabok were the same pach shemen that the chashmonaim found. They found one pach shemen with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And there was only enough oil, v'lo haya bo ala hadli yom echad. It was enough oil for one day. Nasa bo nes, we likum imenu shmori yamim. The famous piece of Gemara, you all know this, there was a nes, and it lasted for how many days? 8 days, even though there was how much oil for what? How many days? One day, is what the Gemara says. Lo haya bo alal hadlik yom echad. Nasa bo nes, we likum imenu shmori yamim. L'shana acheres. The next year, kavum v'asum yamim tovim b'halo v'oda. The next year, so they entered the Heichal, they found the place completely defiled. We know they put a Avodah Zarah in the Heichal, there was a pig shechted in the Heichal. In fact, the golden menorah was missing. They had to make a makeshift menorah, which some of us, we don't realize that. They had to make a makeshift menorah. There was no golden menorah. There wasn't even any oil, and they searched, and they searched, and they first searched, and they found one pach shemen that was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. That's a teeny drop of oil. What are you going to do with a teeny drop of oil? Sometimes we look at a matzav, a difficult matzav. Hopefully you've never been in such a matzav. But like Rav Soloveitchik says, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. Sometimes we look at a difficult matzav, a painful situation, emotionally trying, whether it is individually or nationally. Like that little pach shemen. And the whole defiled Beis HaMikdash. And you say, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? How did I get here? What is Ribbono Shel Olam doing? I'm lost. How did he say? I don't know your style. Very nice word, but Rab Matum, you're Zen and Far for Glunjit. I'm lost. How did I get here? The whole place is defiled. It's upside down. One little Pach Shaman. I mean, we think in life, we plan our lives. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like that. Everything will work out exactly how I plan. And then we take a detour. And when you're on that detour, Rabbi Elisha Olam sends a different matzav. So you think to yourself, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm lost. You never felt lost? Don't raise your hand. I'm sure it's a sentiment we could all relate to. It's a matzavim in life that we didn't prepare for, that we're not ready for. If you never had such an inyan, then Baruch Hashem. But certainly nationally it applies to us as well. What am I going to do? Nase bonis. V'hiliku mimenu. Shmona yamin. The Baruch Hashem says you're not in charge. Look at a matzav and you think to yourself, what should I do with this? And Hashem says there's a plan. You are part of a plan. It doesn't matter externally what you see. You see defilement, you see impurity, you see no hope. I'm running the show. You're not in charge. That little Pach Shemin that looks hopeless, seriously, think about what we're saying. We're so used to the story. You enter the place. It's the most beautiful, most holy base Medrash, base Knesset you ever saw. And it has been completely defiled. It's in utter ruin by the enemies of Knesset Yisrael. And you find one little Pach Shaman. Hashem, really? What am I supposed to do? Hashem says, you're not in control. So often in life, we think we're in control. We plan to be in control. Rabbos Machshavos, it's a pasuk from Mishlei, Rabbos Kapitza, chapter Yotas, yes. Rabbos Machshavos, believe Ish, Ba'atzos Hashem, Hisakum. I have a friend who this past year, her daughter, this should also be a continued Besuras Tovos and a long-term refuah for Shira Bas Nechama Sheindo. Her 18-year-old daughter was diagnosed cancer, and her mother would often post WhatsApps to friends about her journey. Very powerful, very impactful, very descriptive. And this, actually, I went back to WhatsApp when I was preparing the Shira. And I went back, I was scrolling through WhatsApps to find it. This is from Sunday, June 17, 2018. This is what her mother wrote. Dear friends, one of the hardest lessons that I have learned in this journey is that I am not in control. And if you know me well, indeed you know that is the hardest lesson because I love control. I love doing things my way. I love knowing what comes next. I love order. I love knowing that the Beis Hamikdash is clean and that it's pure and I have a stock of shaman and the Ketores is going to be offered and the Mizbeach never had a pig on it and everything's in order in my life. Who doesn't love order? My children will go to this. Oh, no, my children. I'm going to go to this high school. I'm going to go to this seminary. I'll marry this type of person. I will have this many children. They'll go to this type of school. This is when they'll marry everything. I love to be in control of my life. Timu kol shmanim. Life throws curveballs. There's no such thing, says the Rav, as the sun always shines. So continues my friend, if you're like me, you say Birkas HaShachar, shine, dan, sad. Sometimes I concentrate on some of the brachos. I feel very meaningful. I'm quoting from my friend. Sometimes I say the ones you don't have such a clear understanding. I just say them. This morning, I concentrated a little better on my brachos. And I said the brach of HaMeichin Mitzadei Gavar. It means HaMeichin, Hashem prepares, Mitzadei, the steps of Gavar, men. I literally stopped short. I say this every day. Or I should say, wrote my friend, I mumble this every day. But the answer is right here. And she wrote that in capital letters, exclamation marks. Hashem puts footprints in my life. I never was in control. And I don't need to be. I just need to put my feet in the imprint that is already there for me. It's so comforting and yet so scary. I am never in charge. I never ever was in charge. Hashem wrote this script. I have to follow it. Silly people try and tell me, oi, cancer at 18, so hard. What will be with Shaduchim? I just smile. I guess they thought I lost my mind completely. But in that particular area, it didn't faze me. The part of the plan was written from the beginning. And we are following a script. But silly me, it's not only Shaduchim, it's everything. The script is here, I need to go for it. I need to wait for the next scene. Yes, it's easier said than done. I'm a person. It's hard. But I have to remember, I'm not only not in the driver's seat, I need to get into the back seat. Until next time, have a wonderful, uneventful week. And I think that the Yevan, the Maccabim, Beis Chashmonai, Malcolm won the war, and then the house of the Kohanim, Chashmonaim, come in, and they could have given in to Yeush and despair. Perhaps we made the wrong decision. We waited too long to fight the battle. It's such a mess in here. What should we do? Kabbalah Shalom says, you think it's such a mess. You think there's only a little bit of Shaman. You think you missed your train stop. You're not lost. Interestingly, fascinatingly, I love Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef HaTzadik is a story that is always read. I actually asked my husband what your husband spoke about by Shal Shudas time, and he told it over. I said, oh, maybe I'll tell that over tonight. I'm just joking. That's not, I could have, but that's not. I spoke about connection between Chanukah and Yosef. There are so many connections between Chanukah and Yosef because the calendar is modeled after or follows after the parashas and the calendar go in tandem. So we always read the story of Yosef as we usher in Chanukah, over Chanukah, right after Chanukah. There are many connections. Yosef was a Jew living in a very impure society. Chanukah represents the Kedusha that triumphs over impurity. Many ideas. But what's interesting is that this idea that I'm trying to bring out tonight, which I hope is a different way for us to think about Chanukah, and I hope that I'm giving us all, you know, Hashem Elkeinu Aleinu. Ma'aseh Yedeinu Kona Aleinu, Ma'aseh Yedeinu Kona Aleinu. Now, you like Chanukah lech tomorrow. And it's so beautiful. You start with one. And you think to yourself, Halachas Neiros Valacha Kabeisela, Chanukah, Chas Neiros Valacha Kabeisela. Beis Shammai says start with eight, go down to one. Beis Hillel says start with one, go up to eight. We pass, can like Beis Hillel, Chas Neiros Valacha Kabeisela. And we look at the Chanukah lech tomorrow in the darkest part of winter, in the longest amount of darkness, and it's cold, and it's dark, and the galus is hard. I mean, personal sonos and national sonos, you think, what could one little flame accomplish? What could I really have from one flame? Really, it's ner ishu veso. So today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very wealthy society, so everyone can have a menorah, and everyone could afford Shemin Zayisach, and everyone could light for themselves, but it's ner ishu veso. I'm not giving a psak halach here. We have a rabbi who gives us piske halach. I'm not telling you to change. But lemaisa, you're yotze with ner ishu veso. So one little light. What could one little light bring to the world? So Ribbono Shel says, you don't know the power of that one little light, because I'm in charge. You think it's only one little light. I can make one little bit of oil burn for 8 days. I am Hamechi Mitzadei Gavar. It's not, there's always so much more than meets the eye, because Ribbono Shel has a master plan. So Yosef, interestingly, you see this idea, I think, brought out in the life of Yosef. Yosef thought he's sharing his dreams. I just had a dream, and I'm going to tell you what my dream was. Yaakov thought he's just sending Yosef to check on the brothers. Yosef thinks he's just looking to seek the welfare and the brothers and the flocks. The brothers think they're selling Yosef, one individual, down to Mitzrayim. Potiphar thinks he's buying a slave from the slave block. Ashes Potiphar thinks she's just seducing Yosef. Potiphar thinks he's just putting Yosef in jail because he's trying to seduce his wife. The butler and the baker happen to have dreams when Yosef is in there. Yosef happens to be able to interpret. But when you look at the grand picture, which of course we can do because we know the end of the story, but if you think of that, every individual in that moment, in that situation, thinks they're just playing out their script, and sometimes we don't understand that. And Yosef's in the pit. And how could they have done this to me? And why am I in the pit? Why did Father even send me here at all? What kind of matzav is this? And there's no light, and there's no world, and there's nothing going on that's positive in my life. And then ultimately we see that there is a divine plan, that it was all part of Ratzon Hashem, which it obviously was. Says Yosef, when the brothers, when he finally reveals himself, he understands and he says, this was all part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan. You did not sell me here. The truth is that sometimes, in retrospect, everything makes sense. And sometimes, in retrospect, it doesn't even make sense in our lifetime. Sometimes we don't even see the answer, the understanding. But we know that for Hashem, Alef Shanim Be'enecha Kiyom Esmo. Oh, actually, it's Kapitel Tzadi also. Same Vino Mesham Elkeinu Aleinu. The Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no time. He's not time bound. He's Hayaho Vaviyah all at once. And if we can't understand, we have to have the amunah b'tachem when we light the Chanukah lech tomorrow night. Shechianu v'kiimanu v'yianu lazman hazeh. Everything is exactly how Hashem wants it to be. Even if it seems so small, even if it seems so much tumah, even if it seems so impossible. When Yosef is looking for his brothers, any questions or comments? You're all very quiet. Okay. When Yosef is looking for his brothers, he meets this mysterious man. He meets a man. He's called an Ish. He is Toa Basada. He's straying the field where his father sends him. And he can't find his brothers. He's going to Dothan. He's sent from Shechem. He's not sure where he is. I'm sorry, he was saying from Chevron, and he thinks he's going to Dothan, he's going to Shechem, he doesn't know where he is, and he meets this mysterious Ish, and the man says to him, what are you looking for? So he says famous words, I'm looking for my brother, my brothers. So the man says, oh, they left here, they're not here anymore, and they went over there. Who is this Ish, and what is he doing here? In fact, you see the recurrence of this mysterious Ish, Vayavek Ish Imo Aralos Shachar, when Yaakov fights on the river Yabok, and the last parashios, Abereishis, you see this mysterious Ish emerging over and over again. The Ramban, quoting him again, the Ramban says, Ish Vihino Tao Abisada, a man finds him. We don't know who the man is, we don't have a name for the man, some man finds him. Days before GPS, how does the man even know where his brothers are? Yomar ki hu toa min aderech v'lo haya yodea ana yilech v'nichnas v'sada ki b'makam amir hayam evakesh ozam. So why was he lost in the first place? He got lost. Why did he get lost? Because they didn't have ways. You wonder how you got anywhere in the olden days. Like, we somehow managed to get from point A to point B. Somewhat miraculous when you consider. But I remember going on road trips when I was a kid, and I would sit in the passenger seat, and I would read the maps. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but I actually remember being like the navigator. I actually read the map, and if you couldn't find where you were going, you pulled into the gas station, and you said, you know how I get back to the highway? And you hope the guy, the Ish, in the gas station knew what he was doing. Last week, I was trying to get to a shir in Queens. It was the most bizarre thing. This never happened to me before. And I punch in, I enter the address and Waze, and it took me to the wrong place. It kept changing the address. And finally, after circling for 10 minutes, trying to find parking at the space aids, Bashar didn't find parking. I called the organizer. I said, where am I going? So we repeated the address. I put the address, and it kept changing the address. It was like a flashback from the past where you can't get where you want to be today, you think, right? Well, you should know exactly where I'm going. So the Ramban says, ki hu to'a min aderech, he's straight from the path. V'lo haya yodea, ana yelech, he doesn't know where to go. Why is he in a field? He's in a field because he's looking for a place of pasture, so he figures, I'm lost, let me check this field. If they're not in this field, I'll check that field. Not in this field, I'll check that field. The Yaricha Kasub is there. Why does the Torah even tell you details about this? Why do I even know that he's lost in the field and he finds some man and the man says, you're in the wrong place? They went from here and they went to there. Why can't you just tell me Yosef found the brothers? Do you understand? Why is this part of the story even relevant at all? Do you need to know that Yosef was lost? Doesn't that relate to our learning? Do I need to know Yosef was lost? Who cares? He needs to be in Mitzrayim. V'yaricha kasu b'zeh lahagid sibos ra'obot ki sibos rabos ba'u elav shahaya ra'ui lachzor lo. So many reasons came out that Yosef should have said, I should just go home. I should just return. I should turn around. There's no point in me taking this trip. I was in LA 2 weeks ago, and the speaking engagement was booked a full year ago. And first there were fires, and the kids were like, Mommy, I don't want you to go. Are you sure you should go? So I have to admit, I was a little nervous. Then I woke up Thursday morning, who was a shir, some of you may have been shir. I had no voice. It was booked the year before. No, I woke up with no, gave new mini tashem, savasai tiftech, fiyagudazai. That was very dramatic. Then there was a snowstorm. So I'm sitting on the plane. They boarded us right on time because obviously we weren't taking off on time. I'm sitting on the plane for 3 hours. I cannot talk. I'm flying into, I don't know where the fires are. I'm not from there. And there's a snowstorm. And I was literally crying. No, tears. So overwhelmed. I said, Hashem, I'm going to be mechazik these girls. This was booked a year ago. What do you want? It's snowing. There's fires. I can't talk. Could you imagine I couldn't talk? There were so many reasons that presented themselves that Yosef should have said, I'm lost, I give up, it's been defiled, there's been a pig in here, there's so much tumah, there's so many misyavnim, I'm going home. Why even light it? Get off the plane, take your bags. God doesn't want me to go. There's so many reasons that Yosef should have said, I can't find him. I don't have Waze. I don't have GPS. There's no satellite. I'm going back. I'll tell Father. I did the best I could. We entered the Heichal. Why are you even bothering to clean up? Why are you even looking for a little bit of oil? You're lost. Aval hakol saval lekavod aviv. He didn't give up for the kavod of his father. Furthermore, says the Ramban, v'laho di anu od, to teach us further. Ki hagzeira ames v'hacharitzu sheker. The decree is truth, the gzeira of Hashem ultimately upheld, and effort, human effort, is falsehood. By the way, please don't leave here and say we're not doing gestaltus anymore, we're just going to sit at home, because Hashem's in control of everything. The way Hashgacha works is man needs to do his gestaltus, but while we do our gestaltus, we have to understand that Hashem is putting us everywhere exactly where we're supposed to be. Says the Ramban, it's to teach you that the gzeira of Hashem is emes, it will always be upheld. Hashem prepared for him, this person, to lead him on the correct path, to deliver them, to deliver him into their hands. It was all part of Hashem's plans. Who's the mysterious Ish? A Malach. Call his Sibur Hazel lehodianu ki atzas Hashem. This is how the Ramban ends. Kol hasipur hazeh lehodianu ki atzas Hashem hitakum. This whole story is written to teach us that ultimately the machshava of Hashem, kaviyachos, if he has machshava, the plan of the Ribono Shel Olam will always be upheld. I mentioned that it's the Yahrzeit of Rav Steinman, Zatzal. So did anyone read Mishpacha today? Such a good issue. The lead article was amazing. It was so. Did anyone read it today? Amazing. Wasn't it amazing? I told, whatever, I'm fine, whatever you want. I told my kids, you must read this. Everyone in the family. Anyway, it was excellent. So it was also a beautiful piece, some vignettes about Rav Steinman's Zatzal. So the article ended with the following. Rabbi Levenstein, who was a neighbor and, of Rav Steinman and someone who went in for many shilas, Rabbi Levenstein recalls the shocking death of Rav Yaakov Yedidya Friedman, the son-in-law of Rav Aaron Leib's son, Rav Moshe Steinman. So it was Rav Aaron Leib's grandson-in-law. He transcribed all of the Rosh Hashir Shirim. He produced the five volumes of Ayalas HaShachar. He lived in Kiryat Sefer. You're talking about Adam Gada. On one night, 19th of Sivan, 5766, 2006. He spent a long time with the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Steinman. He missed the last bus back to Kiryat Sefer. He decided to sleep on a bench in the Beis Medrash of Yeshiva Gan Yaakov. That night, he passed away in his sleep. This happened the day after he finished writing the Sefer. People were stunned, horrified, pained by the tragedy. But the next day, Rav Aaron Leib gave a statement, and he said the following. Hashem has a very clear plan from the time of creation about how he will bring Mashiach, and it is not dependent on our feelings. The Ribono Shel Olam has a plan. And we're all players in the divine stage, whether we're living our individual lives, bless you, whether we're Yosef, who, if you look individually, everyone thinks they're just doing what they want to do, how they feel, what they will do. It's all orchestrated by God. Whether it's the Maccabim who won a miraculous war, it was Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. How could a few Jewish warriors win over the huge Syrian Greek army? How could it be? How could it be Giborim Biyad Chalashim, the strong ones in the hands of the weak ones? How could it be that the house of the Chashmonaim, the Kohen Gadol, Vanav, entered the sanctuary and it was such a mess, it was so defiled, they found one little pach of shaman. Everybody thinks they're all doing their own job. The Ribono Shel Olam says, you're all doing my job. And I'm running the show. The Ribono Shel Olam says Rav Steinman has a plan of how the ultimate redemption will come. From the time of Bria Shel Olam until the time of Yemosa Mashiach, there is a plan. And what is it dependent upon? Not our feelings, but on God's plan. I wanted to share something beautiful. Maybe you read it. Because some of you said you read it. Okay. Rabbi Moshe Geirlach tells over very interesting outcome of the Al Al flight. I wasn't really following it. Sounds like a lot of machlokas. I don't know. Apparently, Al Al, you know, took off too close to Shabbos. It was a problem. Okay. So he writes, by now we've all heard about the fiasco after a Tel Aviv-bound Al Al flight took off hours behind schedule from New York Thursday night and ended up dropping off 150 Shomer Shabbos passengers in Athens because it was clear they would not make it to Israel before Shabbos. Did you read this? Oh, it's amazing. We all read about how the passengers were put up in 70 hotel rooms that were hastily booked for them. We read about the valley and Chabad Shluchim, Rabbi Mendel and Rebbetzin Nechama Hendel. They rose to the occasion with great Mesiras Nefesh. They made sure the last minute guests had complete Shabbos meals, a Sefer Torah, Sidurim, Chumashim, even wine and Besamim for Havdalah. I'm just finishing a book on the Lubavitch Rebbe. I have total newfound respect for Chabad. It's called Rebbe by Joseph Telushkin, if anyone is interested in fascinating reading. What?
Amazing reading, yeah. I read it.
It's amazing. That one I saw the... Right. I just spoke in SKA on Thursday, so I saw the Chabad menorah in Hula, and then I saw the Chabad menorah in Sirius Prague, and I have like... Mamish... It's an unbelievable book.
Yeah.
Rebbe by Joseph Telushkin. Highly recommend. If you don't have it, it's worth it. And I Mamish have newfound respect for them. So these Chabad Shluchim... In Athens, even there's one the author tells someone, this is a little off topic, but it's really about bringing the light of Torah to the world and understanding that we all shluchim, we're all shluchim of Hashem. That's what we're all doing here. A certain person was appointed to a leadership position in one of the main organizations of the United States. So he made phone calls to different synagogues or temples before the high holidays to see how newcomers were treated. He called Reconstructionists, he called Reform, he called, I don't know what all the factions are called, Conservative, Orthodox, Yeshivas. He called like the whole spectrum of Judaism. Some were very sympathetic. What he said was that he doesn't have money. It's him and his wife. It was like a made-up story. And there are two children. So some were sympathetic. Some said you have to put up this amount. But he said they all concluded with one line. No matter whether you called Reform or Yeshivish, Reconstructionist or Modern Orthodox, they all ended with the same line. Call Chabad. Okay. So the Chabad Shluchim in Athens, Rabbi Mendel and Rebbetzin Nechama Hendel, rose to the occasion with such Mesiras Nefesh. The last minute guests had complete Shabbos meals, a Sefer Torah, Sidurim Chumashim, and even wine and Besamim for Havdalah. We heard about the inspiration the passengers drew. If you read about it, you heard about it. I didn't even hear about it. We heard about the inspiration the passengers drew from making Shabbos with fellow stranded Jews. It was an uplifting experience. It brought people together who seemingly had little in common. They were united in their emunah. But do we know the real story behind all the individual human dramas? And behind the amazing story of the Chabad couple and their staff, there was another story, which journalist Yedidya Meir wrote about in his popular weekly column. Rabbi David Durley from Tveria was one of the passengers who was stranded. He heard from the Hendels, the Chabad Shlichim couple, about the mikveh they were building in Athens. But the project had been stalled due to lack of funds. They needed tens of thousands of dollars. What could be done? They couldn't raise the money. They're in Athens. Who even knows about these people in Athens trying to build a mikvah? What could be done? At Shachris, Rabbi Derli of Tveria announced all proceeds from the sales of aliyos would go to the mikvah fund. He himself purchased maftar for a large sum, and within a few minutes, tens of thousands of dollars were raised. Perhaps Alal's CEO should be invited to affix the mezuzah. Because after all, if the company hadn't messed up so badly on the flight, who knows if the mikvah would ever have been built. Says Rabbi Garlick, and that's the real story. The divine hand diverted the flight, amongst the other things we might never even know, in order to build a mikvah in Athens. And it should be a lot of chizuk for us. The Osef story, the Hanukkah story, our lives. Because really, the title that was advertised, I'm sure you saw, is Beyond Nakas, Internalizing and Appreciating the Miracle of Oil. And there are so many miracles in the oil themselves. But I hope that we have an added dimension of chizuk. The Ribbono Shel Olam is running the show. Hamechi mitz adei gaver. We are following his footsteps. We will say tomorrow, Yavanim nikbutsu alai, azai bimei chashmonaim. The Yavanim, the Syrian Greeks, gathered against us in the days of the chashmonaim. Ufartsu chomis migdalai. They breached the walls. Vatima kol shmonim. Everything seems, all hope is lost. And sometimes you look up and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, what are you doing? I'm lost. What kind of plan is this? Hashem directed Yosef exactly where he needed to be. I don't know why, but there were fires, and the Rachman's son was terrible, and then there was a snowstorm, and then I lost my voice. I don't know what Hashem wanted, but There are many ways that a person thinks they have to go, and we have to realize it's all part of the divine plan. Uminosar kan kanim nasa nesla shoshanim, from a last remaining minosar, from the leftovers of that little flask, a great miracle was done. B'nei bina. We have to have the discernment. We have to have the bina. We have to have the intuition to understand that it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan. Yemei Shmona kavu shir urinanim. It really reminds us who's running the show. And with that, one of my children wanted something last week, gel pens, I don't know, from Costco. Exactly wrote down the title, exactly what they have to be, which kind, show me the picture. Did you go to Costco? Every day. I said, we live in such an age of instant gratification, and Baruch Hashem, my wonderful children, but I said, you know, we need to have patience. By the third night, I said, you know, a Jew needs to have patience. I said, we're waiting like 2,000 years for Mashiach. You're going to get the pens the next time I go to Costco. We need patience. Chasov Zerol Kodshecha V'Karev Keitz HaYeshua. We long for it. We cry for it. Whether we think we want Mashiach or not, we daven every day. Because ultimately, every Jew is waiting for Yeshua. V'Karev Keitz HaYeshua. When is the end going to finally be close? Nikom nikmas avdecha me'uma harisha'a. Ki archa lanu ha'yeshua ve'in keitzli mehera. It seems that there's no end to the bad days. It seems that there's no end. I don't know if you saw on the 5th Jewish Chimes, it was the cover picture, Ari Fold's widow was on the cover with some members of his family. Ki archa lanu ha'yeshua ve'in keitzli mehera. You think you're waiting for pens, we're waiting so long. Hashem has a plan, said Rav Steinman, upon the death of his grandson-in-law, who was an Adam Gadol, and Talmid Chacham. Hashem has a plan from Bria Se'olam. When the time comes for Mashiach, it's going to come. By the way, does anyone know who Rav Shiva are? I looked it up when I was preparing the shir, because I'll admit that I myself did not know who Rav Shiva were, the seven shepherds who we're waiting for. So the Gemara tells us, it's based on a pasuk from Micha, just some Torah trivia, based on a pasuk from Micha. From Micha is expounded upon in the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, Nun Beis, Amar Beis, who are the seven shepherds, David, Adam, Sheis, Mesu Shalach, Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe. I just want to end with a beautiful thought. If you look at the word Chashmonaim, right, they came in, those Kohanim, and they didn't give up. And they said, even though it looks like we're lost, Kness Yisrael looked lost. The Misyavnim had gone over, assimilation was rampant, everything looked hopeless. Hashem has a plan. You think the oil can last for one day, it could last for much, much longer. If you look at the word Chashmonaim, which is what the Gemara Masechah Shabbos attributes their courage to lighting the menorah, even though it was only one Pach Shemen. So break up the word. It's very cool. I don't have a blackboard, but think about it in your head. It alludes to the Nes. Chas.
Do you want a blackboard? I have a whiteboard.
Say it again.
Do you want a whiteboard?
No. Everyone will use their imagination. Thank you. We're just going to end with this thought. Chas Shemen. Chas Monoi. Chas Shemen. We were zocha to the fact that the miracle of oil, Chas Shemen, it burned 8 days of oil. Why? Aleph and then Yud. As we never gave up our Amuna, Aleph, Amuna in Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad, and Yud represents A, the Yechidus of Hashem, and also the Aseres Hadibros. It was the Amuna of the Jews in all time. That's a consolation to Aaron Cohen. What was the consolation? Aaron Cohen lived. He was unbelievably level we can't fathom, but he lived and then he died. What was the Nechama? You're going to light menorah? That's a Nechama. The Nechama is your children will never give up on Amunah. Every day we'll wake up and we will reaffirm Hashem is running the show and we'll come to Hanukkah and we'll say, okay, it looks like we're lost and it looks like all hope is lost and it looks like a pig was brought here and it's defiled and it's Tame and Yosef is lost. And the passengers on that Allah plane thought they were in such big trouble. Rav Matzah Pomegranski said, a Jew is never lost. Chas Shemen, because we believe that Hashem is Echad, we believed in His Yechidus, and ultimately we stuck true to the ideals of Torah, that Sarah said, so Be'ezus Hashem, Chasov Zerol Kodshecha, you should raise His outstretched arm, V'karev Keitz HaYeshua, Nekom Nikmas Amavdecha Me'yuma HaRishah, Ki archa lanu ha-yeshua ve'en keitz le'meher ra'ad echer mom b'tzal tzaman hakeim lanu. Well, Shiva, I thank you for coming. I wish you a Shavua Tov, a very lichtige Chanukah Sameach. Be'ezus Hashem. Thank you, our ladies. Does anyone have questions?